Well, hey, you guys. We're doing another Flickers of Fear. Haven't done one of these in a while, so I thought I would get back into it. So, as I've probably mentioned a time or two before, or several hundred times before, I don't really have any kind of scientific basis or anything like that for choosing whatever movies or books that I'm going to be, reading, watching, reviewing, like for this, channel for the series. I essentially what I do is I just kind of browse around through all of the horror movies that are on offer on all of the various streaming services that I subscribe to. Or if it's a book, then I'll scroll through my Kindle Unlimited stuff. And I just kind of pick whatever looks interesting at that particular time and for whatever particular mood that I happen to be in that day. So when I came across this little film called Isolation, while I was scrolling through the movies on Shudder, like I think it just got added like maybe last month or something like that, I basically just picked it. The only reason I picked it was because it had Essie Davis in it, who horror fans obviously will recognize from The Babadook from 2014. And it also had Sean Harris, who was in the excellent 2018 film Possum, which I think I reviewed a little while back. And he also played Ian Curtis from Joy Division in probably one of my favorite films of all time, the 2002 film 24 Hour Party People, which is about the Manchester music scene of the 70s and 80s. And it was directed by Michael Winterbottom. So he played Ian Curtis in that. So the two of them are in it. And I'm like, all right, I'm on board. Now, I actually didn't realize until I was researching this video that Isolation is damn near 2 decades old at this point, which kind of blew my mind a little bit. It came out, it was actually released direct to DVD, like way the fuck back in 2005. And I'm gonna say, like, to its credit, I had no idea, like, while I was watching it, that it was that old. Especially because Essie Davis, like, I just saw The Babadook again, like, pretty recently, and she doesn't really look that different in The Babadook, which was 2014, than she did in this movie, which was 2005. Like, at least not enough for me to, like, notice, like, a massive age difference. So that's why I think I was kind of surprised that this is as old as it was. But yeah, so it kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. But it doesn't really make any difference that it's 2005. Like, there's nothing in it that it's like, oh, the cell phones are old, because it's not like technology based. So I guess that's why I didn't really notice. But aside from all that, so Isolation is actually an Irish film, and it was directed by a guy named Billy O'Brien. This was actually his first, the first movie that he directed, his feature length debut. And it actually, I believe, got Best Director and Best Film prizes at that year's Fantastic Fest, like when it came out at that. Now, O'Brien actually went on to make another movie, 2016's I Am Not a Serial Killer, and that actually has Christopher Lloyd in it. Now, I haven't seen that, but I watched the trailer and I'm like, oh, that looks pretty good too. So, I mean, I liked this one, so I might like get around to watching that one for, at some point too. And, for a first feature, like Isolation is pretty solid. I don't think it's like necessarily anything to like rave about or go completely nuts over or anything like that, but it is like a really good, like atmospheric, kind of low-key movie with some really great acting performances. It has like this really dour, like grim tone to it, which I dug. Has some like decent gru. It's not like, super, super gory, but it does have some good effects in it. And it has like kind of a mystery that sort of keeps you invested like during the entire runtime. Now, it does have, I mean, I kind of feel like the ending, like the payoff is pretty satisfying, but it's pretty predictable. Like, if you know anything about horror movies, you kind of know like what's going to happen at the end, but I don't think that was to the movie's detriment. So to get an idea of like the ballpark of like what this movie is like, imagine if, John Carpenter's The Thing, and Alien, Ridley Scott's Alien, being kind of agriculturally crossbred with like a 1970s eco horror, you know what I mean? But without any of the unintentional hilarity that that last clause might apply. Because, I love 70s eco horror because that was like a big thing, but some of them were like pretty cheesy and like over the top. And this one is not really like that, but it does have that similar kind of, it does have a similar kind of structure and a similar kind of setup to like a 70s eco horror, but it's played seriously and it's not cheesy, you know what I mean? So that's kind of like the vibe that it's going for. I mean, the only real beef I have with the movie, is the title. I don't love the title. I mean, because it's like pretty generic and it doesn't really have all that much to do with the plot. I mean, other than the whole thing taking place on a real remote farm, like with only a handful of characters. I mean, the movie could have been called like any number of other things that, because the thing about it is when I went looking for this movie, like, you know, because I wanted to get a backstory on it, like after I'd watched it, there's several other movies that are called Isolation. And for a while, it took me a while to find the right one because I wasn't looking for one from way the fuck back in 2005, like I said. So there's one that came out in 2017. And for a while, I thought it was that. And I'm like, no, that's not it. And, you know, so there's a lot of other movies called that. I really don't like movies that have these generic titles like that. So that's pretty much the only complaint that I'm going to make about it. So our nominal main protagonist, I guess, because this is kind of like an ensemble piece. There's like five characters. So, you know, the main protagonist sort of is named Dan, and he's played by John Lynch, who I've seen in like lots of other things. Now, he owns this farm where the whole thing takes place. And it's kind of like, you're led to assume that it's kind of like a failing operation, and it's way out in the fucking back end beyond somewhere like in Ireland. Now, we learn pretty early on in the movie that because the farm has been failing, that Dan has been taking money from some kind of shady, like, genetic science outfit. I'm assuming they're shady. They are always shady in these kind of movies. So this outfit is, like, experimenting on one of his cows. Now, for a long time, we don't know exactly, like, what this experiment entails, like, what their end goal is or anything like that. But because this is obviously a horror movie, you know that whatever the shit is, it's, like, not gonna be good. Now, this suspicion that you have is confirmed shortly afterward during a visit from the veterinarian, whose name is Orla, who's played by Essie Davis. Now, the veterinarian is, like, assisting the main scientist, whose name is John, who's played by Marcel Iures. I think he's Romanian. I'm sure I'm pronouncing his last name wrong, so I apologize for that. And there's kind of like implied, they don't go too much into this, but this is just kind of like a little side thing. But I'm pretty sure that Orla, like the veterinarian, is fucking the scientist. But it's like I said, it's not a subplot or anything like that. It's just kind of like brought up. I think it's also further implied that Dan, the farmer, and Orla used to be a thing too, because Dan seems like awfully upset or like too invested in the fact that Orla's new situation of her like knocking wellies with the scientist possibly. And, you know, and she's kind of like, hey, that's none of your business. So I thought, well, maybe they had a thing before, like maybe that's his ex-wife or something like that. Like I said, they don't really go into it, and maybe I'm making like way more of it than the movie did, obviously. But it was just something I noticed, and I was like, I was interested like why they didn't do a lot with that. Like they just kind of brought it up. They didn't do a lot with it. So anyway, so Orla comes out for the veterinarian visit, you know, on behalf of the scientist. And she has her hand, you know, kind of strategically inserted up the test cow's cooch there. And the presumed baby cow, like that's in the bigger cow, seems to bite her hand. Which, you know, for those not super familiar with cows and their offspring, is not generally something that a little calf, like in utero, would be doing. I mean, that I know of. So, Dan is just kind of like, what do you mean it bit you? It's like, that didn't happen. Maybe you just like cut your hand, or maybe it was like, you know, the bones compression or something like that. Cause it was just like a kind of a crescent shaped, like cut on her hand. But Orla is like, yeah, maybe so. But she's not really sure because she's kind of more privy to whatever this experiment is. And so she's starting to wonder if John, the main scientist, if his, you know, still unrevealed to the audience experiment is kind of going drastically sideways. Spoiler alert, it is. So meanwhile, there's also kind of like a wild card element introduced into the story in the form of two travelers, I guess they would call them. So Jamie, who's played by Sean Harris, and his girlfriend Mary, who's played by Ruth Negga. And they're both kind of like, they don't go a lot into this either, but this is kind of just like mentioned. I guess they're sort of on the run from Mary's brothers because they don't like that she's dating a traveler, or I guess they think he's a bum or something like that. So they're kind of like chasing them or like coming after them with the implication that they'll kick Jamie's ass or kill him or something like that if they find him. I'm not really sure. Like I said, they don't go super, super into that. And I don't think they never show up or they never factor into the story. So the travelers have parked their caravan or their trailer, you know, whatever. I know it's caravan in the UK, but over here we would probably say trailer that they've been living in. And they've kind of parked it right on the periphery of like Dan's land, like right outside of his gate. Now, because the experiment that is going on Dan's farm is supposed to be top secret, John, the main scientist, he wants these travelers like out of there before they see something they shouldn't see. And Dan, the farmer, isn't really a big fan of these random people, like, being on his land. Even though they're not technically on his land, they're just, like, right outside his gate. But they're still, like, right there, like, right at the end of the road that leads to his farm. So he basically is just like, well, you guys got to get out of here. So he gives him, like, a day to clear out. That night, though, the experimented upon cow, the one with the little calf that was biting, goes into labor. And Dan discovers that he can't extricate the calf from its mother by himself because the little fucker is stuck in there. And, like, I don't know how accurate this is because I didn't grow up on a farm or anything like that, but is it the case that sometimes the calf does, like, get stuck in there? Which I assume, yeah, it does happen. But Dan, on his farm, he has, like, a winch-type situation, like, I guess, just in case. Like, you know, you tie the ropes around the little calf's legs and, like, just pull, like, with the crank and everything like that. I'm like, holy shit, that is fucked up. But yeah, so he does that and he still can't get the calf out. Like, it is really fucking wedged in there, right? So he actually is forced to, because there's really nobody else around, he has to go and get the traveler, Jamie, to kind of help out with the operation. Now, this operation, they eventually do get the little calf out of there. However, when the calf is born, it's a little bit bitey, let's say that. And when the veterinarian, Orla, like, gets there, she notes that the calf's teeth are severely malformed, so much so that they look pretty much like fangs. And also the calf is, like, acting really weird. Like, they think it's gonna die, and they're probably pretty much where we probably need to, like, put this out of its misery because there's something, like, not right about it. Now, at this point, you might be thinking to yourself, as I was watching this movie, why didn't they call this movie Mad Cow, right? Like, this is gonna be a killer cow movie, right? I was like, so I'm watching it and I'm like, I actually, because the tone of it was so serious, I actually wasn't sure how I felt about the concept of a killer cow movie, like, especially, like, played as straight as this one seemed to be doing up to this point. But as the story unfolded, I actually kind of found myself relieved that it wasn't called Mad Cow because, you know, come on, that would have been a little bit silly for a movie as, you know, serious as this one. And there's actually something a little bit more insidious than just, like, you know, a killer cow type concept going on. Isolation, in fact, eventually becomes something like kind of like an infection style horror more than like a monster type thing, but it does have like a little bit of like a mad scientist, a little bit of a monster movie thing going on too, but not like a killer cow type of monster, if you know what I mean. So I don't want to spoil too much about what this experiment involves and like what the horrible outcomes of it are, like what exactly went wrong with all of the wanton genetic engineering that John was tinkering with in poor Bessie's womb there. But suffice it to say that the five people that are stuck on this godforsaken farm are kind of in for a pretty bad time. So this movie is actually, it was, you know, it had a very, very gripping narrative, had obvious nods to The Thing in particular, and I really kind of liked the more modern serious take on the eco-horror films of the 1970s, because like I said, you know, as much as I love those, a lot of them were like super, super cheesy. They were like all these kind of like, you know, I hate to use this term, but like a lot of like has-been actors or like past their prime actors, like being in these things, like reacting to like ridiculous, you know, it just got ridiculous after a while, like Night of the Lepus, like killer giant bunny rabbits and shit like that. So I was kind of afraid that this was gonna go that route, but like expect us to take it seriously, but it doesn't. So like, don't worry about that. Now the cast of this is very small. Like I said, it's basically only five people. I think you only really only ever see one person, like in other scene, like a cop or something. So, and the characters don't get a hell of a lot of development, but there is like just enough there, like just with little offhand remarks and stuff like that, that there's like, you know, hints of like a larger story or like larger character development there. So you do kind of get invested in them as people, as they sort of like try to figure out what's going on in this farm and what they're gonna do to stop it. All the acting obviously is outstanding, you know, pretty unsurprising given the pedigrees of those involved. This has a lot of really great actors in it. So, I mean, the story isn't anything particularly new. And like I said, the ending probably won't be, you know, the little twist ending or whatever. It's not necessarily a twist, but you know what I mean? Like the little gotcha ending. I don't think that's going to be like a surprise to anybody with even just like a passing interest in horror movies. But, you know, that said, the entire movie is really very solidly constructed and really builds up some great suspense, especially in and the long lead up that it goes into, like, where you don't know what exactly the experiment is, you know what I mean? Like, for a really long time. And I think that was a good idea to, like, kind of just thread it out really slowly like that, because the whole time I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what are they doing? What am I, you know, what's going on? So I think that was, like, a good idea, because it really kind of sucked you in. And the third act, I will say, is really good. Very, very taut, very absorbing. It's, you know, kind of action-packed. And it definitely takes some cues from Alien, particularly, like, the air duct sequence. I was getting a little bit of vibes from that. But, yeah, so it's really well done in that regard. Now, keep in mind, this movie is not super gory. Like, it's not a bloodbath or anything like that. But it does have a few kind of grisly, more like anatomical or like autopsy type stuff of, you know, cow insides, like cows being cut open and like autopsied and stuff. And it does have like some upsetting sequences of cows like having to be put down with a cattle gun. So there was kind of a scene early on in the movie, which if you're kind of like an animal lover, it might be kind of like upsetting. I know they didn't really do it, but you know what I mean? It is kind of upsetting, like the way it's shot. So if that sort of thing bothers you, then, you know, you might want to give it a pass. I'm just saying, because this really does involve cows like a lot, so just saying. So as of this recording, which is, you know, April of 2023, Isolation is actually streaming on Shudder, at least in the United States. Not really sure about other countries. And if you like eco horror, like, you know, 70s style eco horror or Infection style horror, you know, then it's definitely like worth a watch. Like I said, it's not the best movie ever, it's not anything like that, but it's really, really solid, and it's really well done. Good acting, good suspense, and I just, like, you know, I had a good time with it. Just, like, a solid, solid, you know, horror movie. And, it, like I said, if you like any of those genres, if you want to see something that's kind of, like, homaging The Thing, homaging Alien, but also, like, kind of doing its own thing, also in sort of, like, a rural Irish setting, then you probably will dig this one. So, you know, check it out. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Please remember to like, share, subscribe, all of that kind of stuff, and comment down below if you have anything to say, if you've seen this movie, or if it sounds intriguing to you, then let me know in the comments, and I'll see you guys again on the next one. Bye.